Well, good evening, and welcome to our live meeting webcast of web application projects and web deployment projects for Visual Studio 2005 and ASP.NET 2.0. Couple of getting started how-to kind of things. If you have a question, feel free. You can actually type questions into the question and answer box that should be on your display, and I will try to jump to those questions and answer them as they come in. Feel free to jump in with a question at any time. I'd like to do a quick check to make sure everybody can hear me. If for any reason you cannot hear me, of course you won't know to do this, I guess if you can hear me is what I should be saying, why don't you go ahead and change your presenter feedback to slow down, which would be the red. Now, presenter feedback is under the seating chart. And under the seating chart, you can change your presenter feedback to red if you can hear me. So it looks like we have a couple of people that are having trouble right now. Again, to change your presenter feedback, it's on the middle lower portion of your screen. And there's a feedback to presenter drop down. If you drop that down, you'll see a bunch of different colored boxes. And you can change it to a different color. And that will show up on my display, and I can see your setting. Okay, if you did change it to red to slow down, you can go ahead and change it back to proceed. Now that I know that you can do that, I know I'm getting out there and people can hear. If you do have a question, type it into the question box to the right on the lower right, and feel free to change your presenter feedback to have a question. Then I help me spot that issue. Okay. This presentation is geared towards a couple of web download releases that Microsoft is making available for Visual Studio and ASP.NET 2.0. They are called Web Application Projects and Web Deployment Projects. My name is Bradley Bartz. I'm a dev lead on the Visual Web Developer team. And I'm not a polished presenter. I'm actually a developer, so you're just going to get kind of the raw scoop on what's happening. So we're just going to dive into this and start plowing through it. And I do appreciate you joining us this evening. Okay. The introduction. Since Visual Studio 2005 released back in October of 2005, we have released two new project systems for Visual Studio, one of which is called Web Application Projects, and one of which is called Web Deployment Projects. And why? Why did we do this? You know, we just released Visual Studio 2005. It's out there, works great with ASP.NET, and here we are shipping these extra add-ins. What's up with that, and what are we doing? We're responding to customer feedback. That's it in a nutshell. We got quite a bit of feedback with the release of Visual Studio 2005 that there were additional scenarios that customers were really trying to target that they were having difficulty managing with the product as it existed in 2005 for web development. One of which is geared towards deployment, and that is really around the packaging and deploying of web applications. How do I take it from a design time or staging environment and move it to a production deployed environment? I need more tools. I need a way to produce binaries, installable, reusable kind of components. The web application projects is also driven by customer feedback. And that's really geared mostly at 2003, Visual Studio 2003, backward compatibility, as well as some of the component and enterprise scenarios. And we'll get into these in much more detail as we progress through the slides. We received feedback in primarily three areas. I'm getting a little ahead of the slide deck here. It seems to be moving a little bit slow. I apologize for that. There were three main areas of feedback since shipping. One was on migration of 2003. One was on build. And when I say build there, I'm talking about the entire build process, including build performance. There have been a number of questions about build performance with Visual Studio 2005 and how to make binaries, make assemblies, and also web deployment. How do I deploy the applications that I'm building with Visual Studio in ways that they were doing? The good news is these were the three main areas that we received feedback, and we are addressing all three areas that we've received feedback since releasing. Okay. One of the key transitions, and just to give you a little background information on what happened and why this feedback came in, with the introduction of Visual Studio 2005, we made a pretty significant transition from client-side compilation to server-side compilation. That may seem like a very subtle thing, but it's a subtle thing that matters quite a bit. And a lot of our feedback was in that regard. As we transitioned from a Visual Studio compilation of assemblies to a server-side ASP.NET-based compilation, you know, there was an interesting situation that developed with Visual Studio 2003 and ASP.NET 1.0 and 1.1, and that was there was actually a great deal of books that were published and whatnot on how to build ASP.NET applications. Half of which showed how to build ASP.NET applications with Visual Studio. The other half showed how to build ASP.NET applications with Notepad or any other text editor. And you didn't really need to compile or build. ASP.NET would do that for you. Much in the same spirit as classic ASP, ASP.NET provides a compilation system, an engine, for dynamically compiling your pages and code on the fly on a per-request basis. Interestingly enough, a lot of the samples that were produced for dynamic compilation didn't work in Visual Studio, and the Visual Studio samples that were out there and how to build apps with Visual Studio, of course, would only work with Visual Studio. And so many users were a little bit frustrated with this two different models out there, not understanding how it worked. As we transitioned into Visual Studio 2005, and ASP.NET was adding a tremendous amount of new features into ASP.NET 2.0, from theming to master pages to a middle tier logic to the app code directory to theming and skinning. It became all the more imperative to provide a way to leverage these great features in ASP.NET. Many of these features were based on dynamic compilation, server-side compilation. And so we also found out something interesting from a lot of customers and site visits that we went on. A lot of people were actually very much in web development, were very much doing a kind of an edit browse style of development. They'd edit the pages, edit the code, view in browser, wanted to see what it looked like. They would even use Windows Explorer to navigate their to navigate to their files and use Visual Studio as primarily just an editor on the ASPX page or the code, and then switch over to IE and just refresh the browser to see what was happening. They'd have this edit browse kind of loop. Very, very efficient. And so with Visual Studio 2005, we really enabled those scenarios and made those very very effective and efficient model of development. So part of that transition, the code behind files for ASP.NET are now compiled on the fly, just like the ASPX files. In 2003, Visual Studio 2003, the code behind files needed to be compiled by Visual Studio. An assembly was propped up into the bin folder, and then ASP.NET would take the page and inherit the page from that assembly that was in the bin. In Visual Studio 2005 and ASP.NET 2.0, ASP.NET now has the knowledge and ability to compile code behind for the developer. And again, that's using server-side compilation. So the server-side compilation model was really end-to-end. They would handle code behind now, middle-tier logic, web reference. They handled the entire compilation of their web applications. And so Visual Studio took advantage of all of that capability. And this turned out to be really a great model if you don't care about assemblies, if you don't care about the DLLs that get produced. But what if you do? What if the DLL matters and you need to do something with that DLL? What are you going to do? And there's a number of scenarios that came out and surfaced as a result of this. Waiting for the screens to, okay. One of which was deploying assemblies to other hosting environments. Not wanting to deploy sources, in other words, wanting to deploy the binaries. Here was a strange one. You would never imagine, or at least I never did, limited thinking, I guess, that somebody would actually take a web project and the assembly produced by a web project and use it as an assembly reference to other WinForm applications. Not that I'm recommending this model, but this came up as people were migrating to Visual Studio 2005 on, hey, wait a minute, how do I reference my web assembly now? Because I'm using it in other venues or other kinds of scenarios that were never imagined, and they were using that assembly. Again, not necessarily a model I'd recommend, and I apologize if you're using that model. I don't mean to offend, but it was a little unusual. Third-party components. Third-party components as assemblies and delivering, not building entire web applications, but a series of controls or pages along with a DLL and distributing that out into other applications. A little harder to do on a server-side compilation model. And also, we found a number of people that were factoring their site into many, many different projects where they had a single site, but then they had 4, 5, 6, 8 or more DLLs that compiled into the common bin folder. And maybe they distributed these different assemblies as separate deliverables or separate installables. Maybe it's account payable and account receivable or an optional installable component. So they were wanting to make these DLLs that could be distributed and provided. So how did we go about addressing these scenarios that were more difficult with Visual Studio 2005 and server-side compilation? Well, we introduced a couple of project systems to help target these scenarios. One of which is called Web Deployment Projects. Web Deployment Projects takes advantage of two utilities produced by ASP.NET, one of which is the ASP.NET_compiler.exe. ASP.NET, the runtime, provides a way to pre-compile a site. This is very useful if you want to, for example, for performance reasons. In 2003, it was not uncommon to have people go to a website after they've just built it and go browse and try to hit every single page on their site so that it would be dynamically compiled by ASP.NET so that when a user hits it, it'd be faster. So ASP.NET provides the utility to basically pre-compile the entire site so you don't have to do that. In addition to pre-compiling the site on the local machine into the ASP.NET cache, they provide a way to say, hey, pre-compile it, but pre-compile it into into a folder so that I can deploy it to other machines. And this allows you to pre-compile an entire site so that you have just a set of pre-compiled files and some assemblies in bin, and you can now deploy that site to other machines. Now, what's different? This is very similar to how 2003 worked in the sense that you wind up with assemblies in bin, but with the ASP.NET compiler, it compiles using different compilation rules or semantics, whether you're using batch compilation or not. These are settings that would be in web config. So you could wind up with in one extreme case, an assembly per page. And another model, you might have an assembly per folder. So you can wind up with a variety of assemblies being produced through this compilation process. And it is intended to be deployed as an entire entity, the entire site. It gets a little bit harder to mix assemblies from multiple sites into the same web. So this is really, think about this as a way to pre-compile an entire site. And it does do not only the code behind, but the ASPX pages. And that was a utility provided by ASP.NET that ships in the framework today. With web application projects, they also introduced back on web deployment projects, there's another utility that ships with that called ASP.NET_merge that would allow you to take all those assemblies that are produced by ASP.NET and merge them together into a single assembly. In addition to the compilation, the ability to pre-compile a site, the web deployment project provides you the ability to do additional transformations on your site. Transformations such as changing your data connection strings in the web config file or changing your web reference dynamic URLs, again, in the web config file, or maybe alternately including different config files or deleting certain files and including other files. But it allows you to make kind of a change in the image that you want to deploy before deployment. And that's very useful if you're going to go from a developer machine to a staging machine and then from a staging machine to a production machine. Web deployment projects make it also easier to do those style of transformations on your website. Not only does it do pre-compilation, but allows you to do additional transformations. Okay, web deployment projects. I'm not going to say a whole lot about those. The rest of the talk is going to primarily be on web application projects. Okay, let's dive into that. What's up with web application projects? Web application projects bring back the Visual Studio 2003 project model. While web application projects do allow you to compile a single assembly, it does it really by still having the runtime do the compilation into separate assemblies and then merging those together. It's not quite the same thing as having all of your code be compiled into the same assembly. The reason I say that is if it's compiled into the same assembly, your scoping rules, you can access common classes in the same assembly very easily. If you're compiled into separate assemblies, then you've got to have all your classes marked in public as public to reach across the assembly boundaries, and that doesn't change if you merge it. If you merge those separate assemblies into a common assembly, the same scoping rules apply. You didn't change the scoping or class accessing. So if you really had like a model view controller kind of architecture, an architecture where you're newing up pages and calling things and wanting more or having pages call other pages directly and having more of a model view controller comes to mind. Web application projects gives you back that model in 2003 where Visual Studio will compile all of the code behind into a single assembly and prop that assembly up to the bin folder. Okay. I guess there was another slide on web deployment projects. Let's see. I may have covered this already. Let's find out here. We'll breeze through this. I won't bore you with going it again. It provides the pre-compilation ASP.NET compiler utility. Actually, that comes in the framework. The pre-compiler comes in the .NET framework. The ASP.merge exe comes with web deployment projects. That's a new utility that comes. Again, it provides build configure. Oh, that's another thing that's interesting. Let me just digress for a brief moment here. The websites that ship in Visual Studio 2005, and just for a point of clarification, I'm going to refer to the development model, the web in Visual Studio 2005 with ASP.NET as the website, the dynamic compilation model as the website project. So whenever you hear me say website project, I'm referring to dynamic compilation. Because the website model in Visual Studio 2005 relied on ASP.NET to do the compilation on the server, it really doesn't have the concept of debug and release and staging or different compilation options per Visual Studio build configuration. Visual Studio, as a developer tool, provides different build configurations where you can tweak how things are compiled or packaged. ASP.NET has its own, it uses a web config file to tell it how to compile the site. And so the website projects in Visual Studio leveraged ASP.NET's compilation, so they didn't really expose build configurations. If you wanted to do something different between each Visual Studio build configuration, there wasn't a very easy way to do it in Visual Studio 2005 today. Web deployment projects give you back that ability to change how things are built and compiled on a per configuration basis, even for website projects. So that's one of the value adds there. That I didn't touch on. Again, I think I touched on these deployment transformations. Another thing that they add is, again, this relates to the fact that websites use server-side compilation, so it didn't really need MS Build because MS Build wasn't really doing anything. ASP.NET did the compilation. What web deployment projects also now give us is an MS Build file, so you can go in and start adding custom build actions or rules because now it's going to use the ASP.NET command line compiler to pre-compile the site, and you can introduce additional actions or rules that need to happen that you want to do or run additional processes as part of compiling that site for deployment elsewhere. So it's an extensible framework to allow you to really manage how you go from development to production or other things that you need to do before you can run the site. All right. Now I think I've exhausted web deployment projects. Web application projects. Again, I've been touching on that quite a bit. Now, when I talk about web application projects, I'm talking about Visual Studio compiled code behind. You may be curious, by the way, what's up with this web application project name? Where did we come up with that thing? If you go back to Visual Studio 2003 and you go File New Project, the name of the template is Web Application Project, or a web application. And so you create new web applications. That's the template name. We've added back that template in a project system that knows how to use that template with web application projects. So that's why it's named that way. And by the way, that's why also when you go in Visual Studio 2005, without this download, if you just take it straight as it shipped off the shelf and you go File New Project, you're not going to find any ASP.NET templates there. It's actually under File New Website or File Open Website. Website being the key word for server-side compilation. You're just opening a ASP.NET site, however it is set up, and allowing you to edit it. So it can be a random folder. You don't even need a project file. That's the beauty of websites is you can just open any old random folder or file anywhere and get a great design time experience on it. But if you actually want a project file and you're going to build an assembly and do conditional compilation and do all kinds of stuff, you need a project file and a template to do that. So web application projects, that's where its name comes from, and that's what it's providing is this web project model to match Visual Studio 2003. It is project file based. CSproj and VBproj are back. When you use this template, if you use websites, you don't need them, but if you use web application projects, they're back. Again, all your code is compiled into a single assembly, not merged. Simplified migration. I can't emphasize this enough. The transition from Visual Studio 2003 to ASP.NET Dynamic Server-Side Compilation has been a challenging a task and one that I think we have a great deal of success today migrating apps, but it's still a pretty invasive process. It's going to take code that was sitting in your project and move it into this app code folder. I don't know how many people have played with this and wondered, hey, what's up with this app code? Why did my code move from my folders into the special app underscore code folder? Why does it have to be there? Well, the reason it had to go there is ASP.NET will only compile random code files if they're in an app code folder. Remember, Visual Studio is not doing the compilation in this website model. ASP.NET is. And so it had to be in a place that ASP.NET recognized. It will compile a code behind file because it's in the page directive of the page that's being requested will be an attribute referring to a code file. So it'll compile the code file there. That CS or VB file is part of the page compilation. But if you just had a random class sitting in some folder, it's not going to know to compile it. But if you put that random class in the app code folder, it'll know how to compile it. But you're used to the way things worked in 2003. You may not want your code all in this special app code folder. You liked it the way it was. This is why it's less invasive. In web application projects, it's just like 2003. You can organize your directory structure however you want to, put class files wherever you want to. Visual Studio will compile your classes along with the code behind classes into a single assembly and prop it to bin. So anybody doing 2003 development will be very comfortable with this model. In addition to supporting the 2003 compilation model, we did it in such a way to continue to support all the cool Visual Studio 2005 features, including all the brand new ASP.NET 2.0 features. That's really what made this possible, is you don't have to give up the new features in Visual Studio, and you don't have to give up the cool ASP.NET dynamic compilation features. They actually still work, even in the web application compilation model. So that makes it compelling and worthwhile. Okay, some of the Visual Studio 2005 features, refactoring. Now you may think, well, of course, I'd expect it to support refactoring. Why are you even mentioning it? One of the issues that has been problematic for a lot of customers is refactoring in the website projects. In this dynamic compilation mode, refactoring actually has to do a lot more work because it's not a single assembly. There's a lot of different compilation units that are being compiled for a dynamic compilation model. So refactoring has had some, performance challenges in website projects today. In web application projects, because it's a single compilation unit, it compiles to a single assembly, all the symbols, everything is known right then at design time. Refactoring is blazingly fast. So refactoring not only works, it works right. So I'd love to hear a big cheer right now. But at any rate, you get class diagrams. Of course, they're working. test development's working, generics work, MS Build support. Just, you don't need a web deployment project to have MS Build support. It's just inherent in the web application projects. And it supports the ASP.NET development servers, et cetera. So you really didn't have to give up much as far as, matter of fact, anything to start using web application projects. The ASP.NET 2.0 features that you get to continue to support, or you master pages still work. No loss of functionality. It works in Designer. You'll see your pages just like they'll be rendered by ASP.NET. You still get your data controls. You still get your membership, your login. You still get your role management. You still get your web parts. You still get your personalization, your site navigation, your themes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Basically, ASP.NET 2.0 still works in all its on its glory. Okay. Well, now this might sound utterly confusing. You've got, what, three project systems now. I've got this website model that shipped with Visual Studio 2005. You've got these web application projects and these web deployment projects floating around. What should I use, and when do I know which one to use for doing my web development? After all, I just want to make an ASP.NET website. It seems like a lot of different decisions here. Well, here's a quick little chart to kind of give you an idea of which model is going to work best for you. If you were using Visual Studio 2003 and you had a Visual Studio 2003 project, you should use a web application project. It has the fullest fidelity with the capabilities and functionality that existed in 2003. Matter of fact, once you download the new release, okay, here's an early disclosure for all of you folks that are attending this live meeting. The new RC1 release of web application projects will be on the web and available for download tomorrow. And this is feature complete. So it's a very compelling, rich release. We look forward to having you download it and try it out. It'll be available to everyone, so you can download it and start using it right away. You can actually download and start using it right now, but it's the release as of February that still had some limitations and required a little bit more manual workaround. In this release, you're getting the whole gambit of functionality. So once you get web application projects, the default migration when you open up a legacy project with Visual Studio will be to convert it to a web application project. So by default, even if you were moving from Visual Studio 2003 to Visual Studio 2005, you should be using a web application project, and if you've installed it, you'll get that by default. If you're, a number of people don't, we were surprised that a lot of, there are a class of applications out there and developers out there that don't like the code behind model. They want to have everything in the same page. They want the ASPX file to have all the code, to have everything that's there. If all of your code is in the pages, you don't really need a web application project. Web application projects don't even compile the pages. They compile the code behind. The pages, even in a web application project, are going to be compiled by ASP.NET on a per-request basis. So if you're doing your code and your development in an inline, a single-file model, you should be using website. Use the website model. That's what it's designed for. If you like dynamic compilation, use websites. You know, this is funny. I gave this talk about a week ago, and one of the first questions I got on web application projects was from someone that said, hey, with these web application projects, do I have to start now remembering to copy this assembly to bin, or do I have to start worrying about this assembly now? And I said, well, yeah, that's what they are for. If you don't want to use assemblies, you don't care about that, stick with the website model. That's what it's geared for. It's geared for that kind of dynamic, ad hoc, kind of go and edit and run model. So if that's your world, if that's the way you like it, if you're coming from the classic ASP world and you just like to edit and you want to ASP.NET to handle it on the back end, use websites. Named assemblies. If you're a component provider, you provide a binary that you redistribute, you publish to other people as part of your solution, you should move back to web application projects. You can use websites, but to use websites, you need to use it with a web deployment project in order to produce an assembly to deploy. So if you need an assembly, probably should use a web app, maybe websites if you're if web deployment projects provide you enough functionality. Instantiate pages. If you're doing this model view controller kind of architecture and you're newing up pages and instantiate pages and accessing properties and calling methods within different pages from within a central controller logic of your application, you should probably use a web application project. The ability to compile in a single assembly will greatly ease that development style or architecture. If you segment your website into multiple sub-projects, we saw a lot of people doing this. They would take a website and they'd break it up into many different projects that each compile into separate assemblies that prop up into a common bin folder. If that's your model, if that's the way you like to build and you've designed your web your website, you should be using web application projects. MS Build. If you've got a lot of customization in your build processes, you can use web application projects as is. If you're using websites, you'll need to add web deployment projects to do that kind of customization. And finally, if you're just editing miscellaneous ASPX files, again, this kind of goes back to the inline, but even if you want to use code separation, if your style of development is, look, I'm just going to navigate using Windows Explorer and open up random files on my hard drive. We share apps by just copying files back and forth, and I want to be able to edit it and get a reasonable experience and do view and browser kind of thing. Again, it's kind of related to dynamic compilation. If you just edit files and edit view and browser kind of model, you should probably be using websites. So that's kind of a quick little table to summarize the different couple of key triggers on which models to use and why. Let's see, web deployment. Touching briefly on web deployment. It compiles an entire site. It doesn't really work well if you're trying to mix compilations from different sites together. You can do it, but it's much more tedious. Here's something that's worth pointing out. Web deployment projects work with both websites, the website project model, and web application model. You might be saying, whoa, wait a minute. Why in the world would I need to use a web deployment project with a web application project? It's already compiling into a single assembly. It's already propping it up to bin. It's already an MS Build thing. I can kind of customize it. Why else do I need to do anything? Well, web deployment projects does another thing for you. It allows you to pre-compile not the pages as well as the code behind. The web application project compiled the code behind and other classes into your project in common assembly. Any of your pages are still there in their full markup and with all inline code there to be deployed and must be deployed with your assembly. And that's very useful, especially if you want to allow the layout of your site to be updated after you deploy your application, which is very nice to be able to go in and just change the UI without having to rebuild the assembly. But what if you actually want to deploy the site completely pre-compiled? There's no more code, no inline code, and no code behind. Well, you can add a web deployment project to your web application project, and it will run the ASP.NET pre-compiler on your web application project, pre-compiling the pages for you as well, so you get those compiled into separate assemblies. Now you can deliver a complete binary solution for your web application. It also gives you some of the built-in deployment features if you wanted to change connection strings and websites and do those kind of things, post-build actions. It makes it a little bit easier to do those transformations with a web deployment project. So you can apply those as equally as well on both web apps and website projects. Again, I think that's just the bullet I was just describing. And using web deployment projects uses the ASP.NET compiler to compile the ASPX files. Okay, so that was that. Code behind compilation. So what's going on? Both websites support code behind, and web application projects support code behind. Is it the same code behind? I mean, it's still the abstraction of your logic from your implement logic, backend logic from your presentation layer. They operate slightly different. In the Visual Studio 2005 website model in ASP.NET, has a feature that you can add to the page directive, where you can say your code behind is actually a code file. And you'll see here we've got the page directive. It says auto event wire up true, and then it says code file equals default ASPXCS. When ASP.NET sees that attribute for code file, that tells ASP.NET, oh, I'm responsible to compile the code behind, and I'm responsible to do the field generation. When I'm parsing the ASPX page, I got to generate all those field declarations for all the controls that are on the page as a part of the partial class that's going to be compiled with the code behind file. So this is telling ASP.NET that it's responsible. It has to do the compilation and the code gen for the code behind and the field declarations. Okay? In 2003, and with web application projects, ASP.NET didn't do that. Visual Studio does that. So with web application projects, it goes back to the 2003 style, where in your page directive, you actually have a code behind attribute. Now, that code behind simply tells ASP.NET, oh, I'm not responsible. I'm going to ignore it. I'm not going to do anything with the code behind, because it's up to the implementer's it's the implementer's responsibility to make sure I have an assembly and bin that implements that class so that I can derive my page that I'm going to generate from that class. And whoever implemented that code behind had better have done the field declarations as well, because all I'm going to do is generate the class for the page and derive it from the class indicated in the inherits clause. Another thing to notice in that inherits clause, notice on the website example up above that it just said inherits underscore default. And in the web application project, it says inherits project namespace dot underscore default. In the dynamic compilation model, the root namespace is empty. ASP.NET, it's all in one big global namespace. When you're using a web application project in 2003, when you create an assembly, all those classes were in a namespace. So if you're going to have a page inherit from a class in your assembly, you've got to add that namespace to your inherits clause. So now with web application projects, the pages, the way they're hooked up to their code behind is a little bit different, because now VS is responsible. In addition to managing how the code behind is compiled, Visual Studio now needs to do the field declarations for generating the other half of the partial class. So, in a nutshell, let's look at how this works. Compilation. So, I apologize. I put this graphic together really quickly, so I'll do more verbal describing than everything that is there. So, everything in the kind of beige color is compiled by ASP.NET. So, as a general rule, all your ASPX files, your ASCX files, your ASHX file, all the X family are compiled by ASP.NET on the fly, on a per request basis. Then, in Visual Studio 2003, all the code behind classes, the resxs and the web references and all the random classes were compiled by Visual Studio. So in the blue box was compiled by Visual Studio. So what you see on the screen right now is how Visual Studio 2003 worked. The pages and controls were compiled by ASP.NET, and all the code behind classes, web reference stuff was compiled by Visual Studio. Along comes Visual Studio 2005 with ASP.NET 2.0, and everything is compiled by ASP.NET. Your code behind file is now a code file, and it's compiled by ASP.NET. A magic folder called app underscore code is where all the middle tier logic goes, and ASP.NET knows how to handle it. Your resources are now in app underscore global resources and app underscore global or app underscore web references for your web references to web services. All the app underscore convention are special folders that ASP.NET 2.0 knows how to deal with. It knows how to compile and manage these things. So with Visual Studio 2005, that's what you have. You have a pure server-side compilation model where ASP.NET is doing the whole thing. Okay, along comes web application projects. Web application projects reintroduces that blue box, where now Visual Studio can compile the code behind classes, regexes, and web references. But notice that the other beige box didn't go away. Well, ASP.NET still knows how to compile these folders, and it's not going to stop just because you're using web application projects. Web application projects provide you a way to prop an assembly to bin. If your website happens to have app global resources or app underscore code, ASP.NET will still compile those. So, in beige represents the things ASP.NET 2.0 is going to compile. The thing in blue now represents the what Visual Studio is going to compile. I see we have one question. If you have a question and you want to bring it to my attention, it looks like it's in the queue. I'm going to try to see if I can get this. Apologize. I need to open this guy. Okay. So here I'm going to read a question that came in right now. Apologize for taking so long to get to it. It says, I'm looking to move to Visual Studio 2005 ASP.NET 2.0. My 2003 solution comprises of enterprise templates and includes a number of business object rules, projects, website projects. Can I load the solution SLN 2005, and will the web application be loaded as it did in 2005? The answer to that question is yes, but only if you download and install the web application projects. Okay, and this is the release that will be made available today. If you're very much interested in this and you don't want to wait till, made available tomorrow online, if you need it tonight and you want to play with it right away and you don't want to wait till tomorrow or don't want to run the risk that there's going to be a late delay and it'll be the next day instead or something like that, send me an email. I'll shoot you a private copy. I'll shoot you a copy of Web Application Projects, and you can install it and start working with it. The same thing that will be posted on the web. By the way, my email address is bradleyb@microsoft.com. That's bradleyb@microsoft.com, and that will be on the last slide, so you don't have to write it down. But yes, if you want to preserve that model, once you install web application projects, you'll have a very clean transition. So yes, I would recommend that. You should be able to get that going. Okay. Speaking of which, that was a timely question, because now we're going to talk about migration. There are three types of conversions you can do with web application projects. You can do, obviously, Visual Studio 2003 to web application projects. And by the way, again, with the RC1 release, RC, our Release Candidate 1 release, available tomorrow, it will default to migrating to web application projects. You can still migrate your Visual Studio 2003 project to a Visual Studio 2005 website project if you so desire. All that migration capability still exists. It doesn't go away. But to trigger it, you'll actually need to tell Visual Studio that's exactly what you want to do. The way you would do that is say, open website. Instead of doing file open project and point to a legacy project, because if you say that, it's saying, hey, you want the project model, we're going to give and preserve the project model for you. If for whatever reason you really want to go to the dynamic compilation model, you can do it. You do it by saying file open website and point to the folder containing the project file representing your website, and it will convert it to a website dynamic compilation system. So you can still do that. So what's the third type of conversion we have? We actually allow you to move from Visual Studio 2005 website files to web application project files. Why do we do that? Well, what if you've already been doing your development? You already moved your Visual Studio 2003 projects to Visual Studio 2005. You wound up in these website dynamic compilation models. You've been making it work, but it's not really where you want to be. It's not really how you want to build. You can move it back. You can move it into a web application project, and we do support that migration as well. And we'll have some great samples and walkthroughs on how to do that. Okay. So, migration continued. Visual Studio 2003. Once you install web application projects, the conversion, while it is default to convert to web application projects, the conversion is actually two-step. And the reason it's a two-step process is to ensure to give you the highest confidence that things are going to migrate successfully and you'll be able to build and run at each stage in the process. So here's what happens. Here's why it's a two-step process. When you do file open project or file open solution and you point to a Visual Studio 2003 project or solution, it's going to migrate to a web application project, but only the project file will be converted to use the MS build semantics so that it's still going to build your files basically unedited. It's not going to change the contents of your files. So your file is just now going to build with the new tools exactly the way it was. So basically in this mode right here, you have the highest level of confidence that your site is still going to build and run. Where you might run into trouble are going to be any kind of deprecated APIs in the framework or language changes with new reserved keywords or things like that. But for the most part, your app is just going to run. Now, what did not happen is we didn't change to partial classes. In 2005, web application projects, we fully support the new partial class model for doing your code behind abstraction. The way you that way your field declarations don't get mixed in with your code behind. It's a very clean model for abstracting your code from the dynamically generated stuff instead of having it be all in your initialized component and all mixed into the same class. We do support this separate class abstraction. By default, that part of the conversion hasn't happened yet when you do your initial conversion. And this is just to allow you to make sure you can get your site up and running just by moving to the new framework and make sure you got everything going. So the first step, just convert to the new project system, make sure you can build and run. Hey, if you're there, you're golden, you know you're up and running, you could just ship it that way. You could run that way on the new framework. Now, you'll run into some trouble if you try to use some of the new designer features because it's expecting to do event wire up and field binding using the new partial classes. So the next step would be to go ahead and make the transition to partial classes. Well, how do you do that? We actually provide a command on the in the project systems allowing you, and basically the command says convert to web application. That's one command, convert to web application. It'll migrate from 2003 to web application project. It'll also migrate the website files that happen to be in your website to the web application project. So it's really a converter that can go either way to convert the files to the new code behind with field generation. So you can right click on the root node of your project system. You can say convert to web application project. It'll enumerate the entire project system and do all the conversions that are necessary to get your site up and running. The reason that's a separate step is should there be an issue that comes up with field generation, you could catch it here. We make every effort to preserve your scoping rules. Sometimes people have modified the private fields or into public fields, and so we'll preserve that. If there's something special that you've done for your field declaration and field generation for some reason didn't do it, that's why it's a separate step. Now, while I'm on field generation, there is a little trick that I'll tell you. If you want to do something special, maybe you don't want just a field declaration. You want to make it a property with a getter and a setter to access that. You're not using standard field generation. You're doing something else kind of funky, and you don't want Visual Studio to do the field generation, you can do it. If you actually put your field declarations in the code behind file, then Visual Studio is smart enough to go, oh, you've already done it in the code behind. I'm not going to do field generations for it. So it does honor. If you want to have custom settings you make, you can do it in your code behind. Or if you do edit the designer file and change the scoping, it'll honor that as well. At any rate, so the command to convert the web application works for 2003 projects, and it works for websites. And you use the website if you want to still convert to websites, use the open website command to convert to the dynamic compilation model. Okay. Oh, I jumped ahead here. We still have time. Let's jump into a quick demo. So, bear with me. I apologize in advance for any technical difficulties that might arise. Last time we did this, we did have a few technical difficulties. So we're just going to jump into this. I'm going to live life on the edge. I hope everyone can see my desktop. Okay, where'd it go? There it goes. Okay, hopefully you're looking right now at Visual Studio. And what I have open is Visual Studio 2003. This is Visual Studio 2003 with one of the starter kits, the ASP.NET starter kits. It's the report starter kit for Visual Studio. And just to show you, I'm in Visual Studio 2003. I'm going to do a build. I'm going to build the solution. Okay, actually, I had just built it a little while ago, so it's pretty fast. It just built right away. I can go in and just do a view in browser on the default page. I'll go ahead, and I'm just showing you that it is up and running. I'm going to say view in browser. Now, in 2003, you know, by default, the browser popped up in the IDE. Let me just show you the let me pull up the page. Maybe I shouldn't do that. And this is Visual Studio 2003, pulling up the ASPX file. That's in design view. I'll switch it to HTML view. And again, if I just go in, and I'm just trying to, you know, I don't want you to trust me that this is a working website. I just did view in browser to pop back up. That's the website browsing. So I have a Visual Studio 2003 project here, is what I've got. So now I'm going to close this guy. And here, just close the whole solution. I'm going to go ahead and start Visual Studio 2005. Okay, this is 2005. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and just close 2003, not even have it going. So now I've got Visual Studio 2005 up. Excuse me, I'm just ignore the man behind the corner curtain. I'm just trying to copy the path where this project is located. Now, I'm going to say File, Open, Project or Solution. I'm going to paste that path in, see what's there. This was the report site. There is my solution file. I'm going to open up that solution file. Let's see what happens. I've got a conversion wizard that pops up. Okay, I'm going to say next. I'm not going to back it up. Probably not a bad idea to back up. I'm just not. I've already got a backup, so I'm not going to do it right now. Next and finish. So now let's see what happens. Okay, it finished migration. I've got my Solution Explorer collapsed. Let's expand that and see what just happened. I'm going to pin it down. So, this is my Visual Studio 2003 project that's now been migrated to Visual Studio 2005. But if I go and look, you'll see the code behind, and this has a ResX with it, but these are the code behinds from 2003. There's no designer file. It has the same, these files are unedited from 2003. Now, what I recommend people do at this point in the process is just build. Make sure that you can still build your application and get it up and running. Oh, interestingly enough, there is actually a build error. What's up? This particular build error had to do with an issue. I'm going to pin this down so we can see it. It says that system floor math decimal and system floor math double. So it doesn't know. There's an ambiguous, it doesn't know which way we want, whether we want double or decimal here. So that's a change in just the runtime framework. So this is the kind of thing you would expect to find here. I'm just going to put a 2.0 and just to get past this and let that go. So now I'm going to build again, build solution. Okay, it built cleanly. I should be able to run the site right now. I still haven't converted any files. I'm just, let's see, where's View in Browser? There's View in Browser. You'd think I'd know where that command was. Okay, so I'm launching View in Browser. It's popping up, going against the website. And there it is. So now it's running in ASP.NET 2.0 with Visual Studio. And I've got my app basically converted over and running. So that's kind of cool. Pretty painless, actually. Very painless. No funky folders were created. There's no app code or nothing. Nothing really happened to my website. It's up and running. I can run with this now. But the next step would be to convert to the new partial class and field declarations. So how do you do that? I'm going to just go ahead and do the whole thing. I'm going to right-click on the root node of the project. I'm going to go down here and say convert to web application. When I pick that, it's going to spin through the thing and make the conversions to my files, converting them to the new partial classes. So let's go ahead and do that. So now it's spinning through. It's converting the files in my web, and it's rounding the corner. We're doing web application. We're doing hierarchical drill down ASPX. It's moving on to cross-tab ASPX, chart generator. It's spinning through the site. It's got them all done. Okay, so now it has gone through and converted the files in my site. You'll notice now that there are these .designer files that have been added to your project. So what's up with that? What's in one of these guys? Let's just take a peek. Oh, that one's actually empty. Let's find something a little more interesting. Let's go down into... There's one that's more interesting, this hierarchical ASPX designer. These are all the field declarations from the page. So if you were to go in and look at the actual page itself, these would be the web controls that are on this page. So as you edit the page, Visual Studio will automatically maintain this designer file, keeping it current with the field declarations. So now all the field declarations for your controls that are on these pages will get spit into the designer file and kept separate from the code behind. If I actually look at the code behind, it now doesn't have the field declarations. It has just whatever code was in here. Okay, well, we've just done this conversion. There's a bunch of designer files, a bunch of stuff that's been added. I can now work with my site. Will it build? Will it run? Let's find out. So I'll go up here. Where's my mouse? There's my mouse. I'll go up to the build menu. Build solution. Let's just do a build on the solution. Okay. It's spinning through the project. It's doing a full build. Oh, it's done. It fully built the solution. It built it, but does it run? That's the question. Let's go ahead and go to default ASPX, do a view in browser again. And voila. The site is now up and running. It's up and running using the dynamic, using partial classes, using the field generation from Visual Studio, using the Visual Studio 2003 code behind model. I now have got my site migrated and ready to work with in Visual Studio 2005. Pretty painless process and not very invasive. You wind up with these designer files for your abstraction or your field declarations and arguably a pretty clean model to keep that out from the your actual code behind file itself. So that's very similar to the client projects. Okay. Whew. Lucked out. That worked. I like that. Okay. So now I'm going to jump back into the presentation. All right. That was our demo. So when you're working with web application and ASP.NET, the key thing to remember is to understand compilation. Who's compiling what and who's responsible for compiling what parts of a website? That really is the key. If you can master that, you'll have a good handle on things. So you need to understand what ASP.NET is compiling versus what the client, i.e. Visual Studio, is compiling. Who's responsible for compiling which pieces? ASPXs, ASCXs, etc. are always compiled by ASP.NET, never Visual Studio. Code behind files and other support classes, they can be compiled. If you use the code file, it's a server-side compilation. If you use the my slide isn't moving forward anymore. I don't know what's going on. At any rate, if you use the code behind model or direction, it's a VS compiled, and app_code is server-side compiled versus client-side compiled. Oh, we've lost our live meeting connection or something. I hope everyone can still hear me. Apparently, live meeting has lost its connection. It's reconnecting right now. We are just about to the end of our time and about to the end of the presentation anyways. The last things are up there. Hopefully, once we get connected, will be the contact information. I'm hoping you can still hear me. I'm not really sure if you can or can't. If somebody could change their feedback presenter feedback just to a different color so I know you can hear me. That would be great. Of course, I may not know that if I'm not connected, so never mind. We're trying to connect to the live meeting server again. But at any rate, there is a new feature that I want to point out that's part of web application projects. I'm hoping you can hear that, and that's in Visual Studio 2005 with websites, we have this really cool copy web feature that allows you to synchronize and copy individual files up to a production server. But with web application projects, you don't really want to deploy all the files in your project. You want to deploy the assembly and whatever content files are required to run. Well, we've reintroduced the publish project command that is a little more rich, a more functional command than existed in 2003. You can now publish your web application project. It'll build and publish just the binary up to bin. It will publish the content files. It's smart enough to know whether or not you want to publish the app data folder or not. You can specify that. Why would you want to? Well, on your production server, maybe you're not using SQL Express. Maybe you're using SQL Express on your box, but on the production server, you're using SQL Express. You're using a SQL Server. So in that kind of environment, you may want to not push up the app data folder. So you can check that off. It's also smart. It remembers what it published last and only publishes the differences. That's a nice little feature. In 2003, you always had to publish everything over and over again, and it took forever. So the publish command in 2005 with web application projects is very, very fast and very nice. So it works pretty well. So we've got that command. You can still use web deployment projects. It says we're connected. I don't know if any slides are going to show up. We'll wait and see. Okay, it looks like it's starting to pop up again. So the publish command or wizard that we have now, with web application projects that have copied to bin, it'll push only the changed files. Very, very nice. And finally, you can use web deployment projects with either web application projects or with website projects. I'm going to skip that slide for brevity's sake. And finally, you can still use setup projects. Setup projects, if you want to distribute an MSI, you can use a web setup project. You can use it with website projects for source level deployments. You can use them with web application projects for binary level deployments. You can even use setup projects with web deployment projects if you want to deploy an entire pre-compiled site. All those things work. How do you get started? What do you need to do? So here's a couple of URLs. There's a couple of download URLs. If you go to these sites, I'll leave this screen up for a few minutes so you can get down these URLs. The only difference between these two URLs is one has WAP for web application project, the other has WDP for web deployment project. You can also simply go, if you don't want to remember those long URLs, just go to www.asp.net. If you go there, you'll find a link to both web application and web download projects. If you go to the resources under product team downloads, you'll find those links. So you can just remember ASP.NET and resources and product team downloads, and that'll get you there. So using either of those techniques, you can get to these downloads, you can install them. By the way, it's worth mentioning that the web application projects, that web download will be going into Visual Studio 2005 SP1. So in SP1, that'll be included by default. So that's some good news there. Oh, let's see. I made this slide last week. Let's see how current it is. First week of April, that would be this week. RC1 of Web Application Projects is on the web. That is true. It should be up there tomorrow. If you go there right now, I believe it is still the February refresh. But if you go there tomorrow, it should be RC1. I don't know what time tomorrow, but it should be there. And if you're absolutely desperate, shoot me an email, and I'd be happy to get it to you. There is a question in the queue. I will try to answer that question. Oh, thank you. I'm glad. It says still can still hear me. Great. So one thing you need to know about this RC1, when you install RC1, it does require a servicing patch for Visual Studio 2005. Don't worry about it, though. The installation program will redirect you to the MSDN location for the Visual Studio Service Pack. That service pack does not change any existing functionality in your websites or behaviors. It simply provides the support necessary to enable web application products to be fully functional. Okay. Another thing worth mentioning, web application projects only work in Visual Studio Standard and above. If you're using the Express SKU, the Express SKU is the website compilation, dynamic compilation model only. So if you want to produce assemblies and build those assemblies and ship them out, you'll need to use a Visual Studio Standard and above with a web application project. Okay, that is it. My name is Bradley Bartz. My email address is bradleyb@microsoft.com. I'd be glad to help you in any way I can. If you have questions or comments and want to shoot them to me, you can do it by email. I'd be glad to take those questions and help you as you evaluate this product. And if you want to get an early preview, you're welcome to send me an email. I'd be happy to send it to you as well. I hope this has been helpful and informative. And that's about it. So we'll wrap it up at this point. Again, go and check out web application projects and web deployment projects. Hope it helps in your scenarios. Thank you very much for attending today.